Crystal, I'm an addict. Grateful to be here, and grateful to be here clean. I'm really grateful to be at March Madness. It's my third year. Life's really busy, really full. Recovery has given me like a lot of different hats to wear, a huge circle of people that, you know, I help and help me, and a family, and a great job, and a lot of days I just feel like I'm on autopilot, and I'm just going through the motions, even when I go to a meeting sometimes, right, or most of the time, right? I was just talking about it. We went to a celebration on Wednesday, I was like, you know, like, I have to take a minute and think about, like, what it means to, like, celebrate any amount of clean time, you know, a day, 30 days, 60 days, a year, 10 years, whatever. Like, I have to remind myself, like, what that means, right? Like, that we came from this place, or I came from this place where I used to live and lived to use. And, like, I didn't think I could do anything without getting high. I couldn't go to the grocery store. I couldn't take a fucking shower. You know, I couldn't, you know, make my kids something to eat. I had to use. To, like, live this beautiful life I get to live today. But I get on this autopilot with all these things I've got to do and all these lists I have and all these, you know, things I've got to take care of, and I forget to feel, right? I forget to feel what it, you know, like what's actually happening and how beautiful life is. And so when I got here yesterday, I was all caught up about speaking. I don't like to speak, and I don't know what I'm going to say. But I had a great night, man, and we had, like, this bonfire with, like, 50 fucking people. And just, like, the spirit of recovery, the atmosphere of recovery started to just seep in, yeah? And I woke up in my bed this morning before my alarm went off, just enthusiastic, you know, to be here. And just, like, I feel it. I feel it. I feel, like, the spirit of recovery, man, it's just so powerful. And then, you know, like, my friend and I are sitting in our living room drinking coffee, and this guy, we knew the guy a little bit, he just walks in our cabin and goes in our kitchen because our other friend told him, you know, that our cabin was the cabin where breakfast was, but it was the cabin next door. And so after he left, I'm like, I guess this is what family feels like, right? Like, is this what it's supposed to be like? Because we walked out of our cabin to the cabin with breakfast, and we got a friend sitting there cooking bacon on a Blackstone grill, throwing off bacon for us, and grabbed some breakfast, and just, God, just feels so good, this life today. You know, I could not have asked for what life feels like today when I got here, because, like, I could not comprehend this. I guess this is serenity, you know? So that's where I'm at right now, which is very different than where I was yesterday. And that's the magic. The speaker before me talked about having a choice, right? Like, we have a choice. I get to start over any day. And I'm grateful, so grateful I choose recovery every day. So let's see here. You know, I'm grateful to be in the position to carry the message of Narcotics Anonymous, because this program has changed my whole entire life and the lives of people around me, without our permission. You know, when I first got here, if you're new, you know, they say get connected, you know, go to a meeting every day for the first 90 days of your recovery is a really good idea. And you know, the reason behind that, you know, for me, is, you know, I spent years using every single day, and everything I did was centered around how I was going to use, how I was going to get high. And so, like, I have to retrain my brain. I have to create new habits and new patterns. And so every day I need to put as much energy into recovery as I did using. So meeting every day for the first 90 days. And then, you know, they told me to look for a sponsor. Right? And that's my topic, is sponsorship. And sponsorship's a two-way street. And I have some experience with that, man. I've had four sponsors. So My clean date's May 31st, 2013, so I've been here coming up on, 11 years? I don't know. 12, thank you. I've had four sponsors in that time. My first sponsor I met her at the halfway house that I ended up staying at, and she had to move away. And, what I've learned here is, so my saying this year, and I'm all over the place, y'all. I might have to ask you to remind me what I was talking about. My theme of this year is everything is as it should be. I don't like everything happens for a reason, but I can get with everything is as it should be. My first sponsor, we didn't have a long journey together, but she was what I needed in that moment. She was what I needed to help me get connected to people, help me, meet some people. Help me learn what I needed in a sponsor, right? And so then I got another sponsor, and she was this amazing, sweet, kind, loving woman. And I needed that too, right? Because I hated myself when I got here, and I was ashamed of who I was when I got here. And I needed that motherly love, right? And she gave that to me. Recovery's not always a happy, feel-good kind of thing, right? Like, life shows up in here, and we just don't use no matter what, and some days that's really fucking hard. I've been through some pretty big things here in recovery and haven't found it necessary to use. I don't have enough time to, tell y'all all about it, but, went through some really hard stuff with my kid, it triggered a lot of things of my own trauma, right? And so I was super fucked up. I had to go through a trial and all kinds of things, and I needed more than my sponsor could give me. She was, parenting multiple children, and I needed more help. And so I changed sponsors again. And that was what I needed at that time. And I worked all 12 steps with that sponsor, and that was a beautiful experience. The transformation that happens when we work the steps in here, it's wild. If you haven't done it, please stay. I remember, writing on these steps and being like, okay, when is this going to work? And not really seeing that transformation. But in the 12th step, in our step working guide, it has you kind of go back through all the steps and write about what principles, did you get out of this step? And and so I took that journey back through all of that stuff, back to the trial, all the way through where I was. And it took me a long time because I was jacked. I was a different person without even realizing it. And what I found from that first set of steps was that, I found my part in my patterns of life, right? I recovered from being a victim. Well, I'm recovering still, but that was a big thing for me. I've survived a lot of hard stuff as a kid. And I came in here as a victim, waiting for someone to come rescue me. And feeling like somebody should, right? Like, poor me. But nobody ever did, right? And that just fueled my abandonment trigger. And, like a lot of us, I was a little girl in here. And so I learned that, even through all the trauma that happened to me as a child, my part in that today is allowing that to define who I am, right? And allowing that to give me permission to keep myself safe, which I needed to do that at one point, right? I needed to keep myself safe as a child and detach from my feelings and not let myself feel what was going on. But as an adult woman, especially surrounded by, a family of recovery, I started to believe, maybe I could start to heal here. Right? Maybe I was safe enough with you guys to let you know I was scared or let you know that I was sad, or, you know, let you know that I didn't feel anything, you know, and that I sat there and watched you guys, like, have these emotional connections just in envy, right? Because I was just so detached. So anyway, my part, what I found in the first steps is, like, that my part in my patterns was that I was, like, so focused on keeping myself safe, physically, emotionally, spiritually, everything. I didn't have a spirit, really, but that I just pushed everybody away, right? And so in those steps, I found that, like, for me, it's all about the love. Like, I want that connection. I want that love. And if I want that, I have to open myself up to it, right? And so I went on another journey, you know, very focused on feeling safe enough and practicing how to feel. And I got a different sponsor for that, who had what I wanted in that area. And I've been with that sponsor, I guess it's been like 6 or 7 years now, 7 years almost. And she's what I need right now, right? So I'm not one of those people that says you should, you know, like, have the same sponsor forever. I think there's a lot of value in that because they get to, like, watch you, like, grow and transform. And my sponsor today, she's continuously growing and learning new things, which is one of the things I love about her because that's one of the things I value about myself as well. And we do a lot of those things together. And so she works for me really well right now. She's also who I learned to feel safe with first, right? Who I can be 100% unapologetically me, without judgment. And because I've been able to do that with her, I can come in here and start to do it with you guys too. And that allows me to open myself up to that connection and to that love that I know I truly want, even when it's scary. So that's been my sponsorship journey. But sponsorship is a two-way street, right? That comes out of what can I do, right? Which is why I tried to touch on that in the beginning. But, you know, it's a two-way street. I'm not going to find it. I'm not a literature. Like, my home group is the RAW group, Recovery at Work. We're a literature study. I'm definitely a literature person, but I'm not one of the quoters. Or the on-the-fly, find it in my book, people. So, you know, it talks about sponsorship being a two-way street. And that's because not only do I, you know, get a gift of recovery and wisdom from my sponsor, a gift of compassion and acceptance and non-judgment, a gift of a safe place, a gift of a good hug when I need one. So many gifts. But as a sponsor, I also get gifts from my sponsees, man. And, man, that is a powerful thing. I've sponsored a lot of women over the years. Someone told me that your sponsees represent different facets of yourself. And that rings really true for me. And one of the coolest things is, like, they come to me as these little teenagers, right? These little girls. Not all of them. Some are, you know, no. Anyway. They come, like, in teenage, adolescence, right? Some of them are angry. Some of them are victim-y. Some of them are delusional, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And then we start to work the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous. And the transformation begins. And I get to watch them learn how to love themselves and learn how to feel safe with me. And learn how to ask for what they want and understand what they need, right? And I get to watch them take a look at their patterns and see what part they've played in their cycles and figure out what they want out of this beautiful thing we call life. And then we together get to talk about, okay, what choices are we going to make differently? Right? What are we going to do differently so that you can have this beautiful life that you see other people that you want? You know, what do you want and how are we going to get there? And it is an amazing transformation to watch, and it is such a gift. And like, you know, being little pieces of me, We share a lot of the same. It's funny how our people find us, right? It's wild how our people find us, and like you'll get to know someone, and it's like, were we separated at birth or something? Just 20 years apart, like, you know. So they get to heal those pieces of them, but I also get to rewrite my story, right? So like, I get to help them rewrite their story, but I'm rewriting mine too. And that's been incredibly healing. And, you know, and I believe that, you know, people come to us in the right time, you know, this past like 9 to 12 months. So I mentioned, you know, recovery is not always fun. For a lot of my recovery, it's been really good to me. Life has been really, really good to me. I mean, I've walked through some stuff, but, you know, like there's been times in my recovery where I've talked to my sponsor and I'm like, am I missing something? Like, am I supposed to be doing something? Because just everything's good, you know? And there's a meme or a poem or something that talks about that. Like, sometimes in life, everything's going to be really good. Sometimes in life, you know, things are going to be really hard. So enjoy those moments and have hope for those moments down here when you're walking through the valleys, right? The past, you know, 9 to 12 months, it's been one of those valleys. It's been one thing after another, right? Again, not enough time to go on to all the details, but, like, I have had multiple things come at me that have, I don't want to say attacked, but challenged the pillars of who I think I am. Right? And so, like, I've been here for a while. I did the steps. I figured out what I want. I made the different choices, and I've created who I like who I am today. I fucking love who I am today. But it came at me and, like, challenged all of these things I believe to be true about myself. And it says that somewhere in here, too. Everything we know is subject to revision, especially what we know about the truth. Right? And I think it's, you know, talking more about early recovery, but you know, as I'm sure you'll hear this weekend, if you haven't already, like, yes, it's about the drugs, but it's about the disease of addiction. Yeah. And the disease of addiction, it goes well beyond the use of drugs. Fuck, it's gone. what was I saying? You don't know?
Bad times.
Yes.
There you go.
So... it's challenged, like, all the pieces of me, right? And on top of that, I started going through menopause. So, like, throw in hormones in there.
Great.
Wow, y'all. Clean. So, like, for a while there, I was just basically cycling through homicidal rage and just pity a puddle on the floor. I'm not generally a very emotional person, and that was one of my pillars, right? So that was big. You know, that kind of kicked things off. Then I found myself isolated because I also, you know, like, I'm a control freak, and I do pretty good at it most of the time. it causes me to isolate, you know. It causes me to think I don't need help. It causes me to feel like I'm different than you. It causes me to think I don't need to go to meetings. You know, I've got this. Life's good. I'm okay. Just like the speaker before me was talking about, or the meditation, I think, this morning was talking about, one of them. You know, like, life's really good. I'm all right. Right? And silly me, I know this because I've done this thing so many times over the years, right? Like, I do all these things and I feel really good, and then I stop doing them, and then I fucking bottom out. But thank God I haven't used, right? And as long as we don't use, we have hope for a better day. I found myself in this place, just fucking hopeless, isolated, and surrounded by beauty and recovery, but, like, didn't want to leave my house. And I had that fucking gift of desperation, that moment of clarity. That moment of clarity that showed me my part, right? What is my part? Like, fucking ask for help, you know? And I recommitted. I started taking myself to a meeting every fucking day, every day. And not only did I take myself to a meeting every day, I made myself raise my hand and share every day. Because I'm not a sharer. I don't like it. But I made myself. Because what I was doing by not sharing and by, like, telling myself I didn't need to share because I didn't have anything to share, I was disconnected from y'all. You don't know me. You know, you don't know where I'm at. How can I expect anyone to know that I'm fucked up? And so I did that. I started praying again. And I started journaling. I started calling my sponsor every day. Every day. I started talking to friends. And I started talking about what was going on. Because, you know, like, it was almost like, you know, like, being here for a while. Like, you know, sometimes, you know, I feel like I have to be this recovering addict and have my shit together and know what to do. And like this image to uphold, you know? And like, it was almost like when I got clean, like I had nothing left to lose. Like I have a lot to lose, but like in that moment I had nothing to lose. Like, fuck it. Here I am. Take me or leave me. And this is what, and guess what? Y'all took me and I got hugs. And I got love, and I got people calling to check on me, and it took like a week. It was like a week of doing the real simple stuff, and I felt so much better. And thank God, because the hits kept coming, and they've continued to, man. And what the real beauty of recovery was, and this is how I got here. People come to us at the right times because I got a sponsee in my life right about that time, a new sponsee, and like she has been exactly what I need. You know, you just need someone to hear you sometimes, and someone to just see you. Because the hits have kept coming. So, like, one of the greatest gifts of recovery for me has been the power of acceptance. I guess the third step, really. Like, the level that I have with that, right? That everything is as it should be. So when, like, hard stuff is happening, I don't know why this is happening. I don't know. But there's an opportunity here. And it sounds cliche, but like, what? I have a choice, right? I can either, you know, feel sorry for myself, and sometimes I do for a couple days.
Yeah.
But then, like, what am I supposed to get out of this, right? Or even if there's nothing that I can get out of it, what is this preparing me for? You know? So the same no matter what that happened in early recovery that made me switch sponsors showed up at the end of my street, and there was nothing I could fucking do about it. And it just re-triggered like all of that trauma and fear and anger, fucking rage, right in my fucking neighborhood. Talking about powerlessness, you know. So like, had I not gone through all the hormones and all of the job stuff, like all the things, and had reconnected myself, y'all, I might be in prison right now, for real. You know, we got choices today, but sometimes the choice I know isn't the best for me sounds good. But just for today, you know, I keep a Buddha and a bullet on my desk because I swear to God, it's a daily choice. I wish I was joking. So like, I don't know why he's there. but it's given me another level of acceptance. I don't understand why, but I've been able to overcome feelings that I haven't been able to in the past. And then, what, I got 5 minutes? Five? Had another fucking tragedy a couple weeks ago. I'm a grandma today. I have a 4-year-old grandson. And my son today, I'm probably his best friend. I love him. My baby's got hurt. Really, you know, but like miraculously, not physically. Very bad. Jesus. Ugh, I don't want to talk about it here, y'all. Shit keeps coming and shit's hard and it doesn't make sense to me. I don't know why this fucking happens. But it did. And some beautiful things have come out of it already. You know, I'm gonna leave that there. If you're new, please stay. Give yourself a chance. The message of Narcotics Anonymous is that any addict, can stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and notice we didn't say just drugs, and find a new way to life, new way to live. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop using. You know, so if you're not sure, just keep coming. And if I didn't say anything that helped you, keep coming because someone else will. And I'm really grateful to be here, and thank you all. That's all I got.
Our next speaker will be Eric. We had a plan change.
What? My name's Eric. I'm an addict.
Eric.
I found out about this about what, 5 minutes ago. All right. We got all day, right?
Yeah.
I learned a long time ago, if I have to speak over someone, what I have to say is not real important. All right. Man, I haven't cleared a room like that in a long time. My clean date's September 11th, 2004. And in those 20 years, I've had 12 sponsors. You laugh. I mean, I'm a lot to handle sometimes. No, when I first got here, I did not want to be here. I was 20 years old. Everyone else was probably in their 50s. And I was like, this is for old people. What am I doing here, right?
I don't mean to interrupt you, I'm sorry. But if there's anybody out front driving a vehicle, we've got a black SUV with travel up to it. Or Spencer or Warren Chapman, has Utah license plates. We're fixing this hole. Nobody?
No.
Sorry, sir.
You're okay. I don't remember what I was saying. No. Oh, yeah. I had 12. So. Old people. Now that I am one of those old people, I'm like, what are all these young guys doing here? I didn't want to be here. I thought y'all were full of shit. I thought y'all were putting something in the coffee. I was sitting in the corner shaking and with I was going to area meetings before I started somewhere. So before I asked someone to sponsor me, right? Because I was told this is how you stay clean. And my first sponsor was my childhood bully. Because I knew that he wouldn't put up with my bullshit, right? Well, how it happened, I was sitting outside of our home group one day, and he came up to me and goes, "You have 90 days clean. Have you found a sponsor yet?" And I'm like, "No." He's like, "I'm going to do it." And I said, "Okay, what's that mean?" "You have to call me every day." "Okay, I don't have a phone." "You have a house phone. Call me every day. If I don't answer, don't worry about it. Call someone else." I said, "Okay." We would work step. Oh, okay. Thank you. We would work steps at the in the Perkins smoking section. That's where we work steps. I called him every day. He answered probably once out of every 10, right? I tried that game with 6 months clean. That I, what happens if I don't call anybody for a couple of weeks? Who's going to call me first, right? That's who my real friends are. Nobody fucking called. And I'm like, I go to the meeting, I'm pissed. I'm like, no one cares. And my sponsor goes, "Why the hell would you do that? It's not their responsibility to reach out to you. It's your responsibility to reach out to them." Right? So I worked all 12 steps that first year. And man, looking back on it, I was full of shit. I still am a little bit. But I was putting shit on the step work that he wanted to hear, not how I actually felt. Right? And he let me do it. And then I had 13 months clean when he relapsed. And I had to find another sponsor. And so my
he's getting better.
No, you're good. I'm not everyone's cup of tea. So my second sponsor, I worked my first step with him. Just like I worked my first step, and he said, "What is this?" And I said, "That's my first step. Look, I worked hard on this." And he said, "Not hard enough. Do it again." So I was sitting there and I was looking at it, and I'm like, "What do you mean?" He said, "You have to be thorough in this, or it's not going to work, right?" And then a year later, he moved out of the state, and I was like, maybe I'll just get a new sponsor every year, right? Like, so I'm sitting here. So my third sponsor and I got through six, right? In 3 years, I was working. About that time, my kid was born, and I didn't know how to be a dad, and he didn't have any kids. And he's like, "You know people that are parents. I am not that guy." And then he moved away. So from probably about year 8 to year 10, I was one of those that showed up every 3 months and picked up my medallion when I needed to pick up my medallion. And I didn't work any steps, right? I had several sponsors along the way, but I picked those that weren't going to call me on, "Hey, you're not going to meetings. Hey, you're not working steps," right? When they say you put anything you put in front of your recovery, you're going to lose, they fucking mean it, right? I was being a dad, and I was being a husband, and I was doing all the things. I was working second shift. I was working 5/12s and, you know, providing life for this family. And then I lost the family, right? Because I stopped working on me. All the things that made me attractive to someone else went out the fucking window, right? I started being self-centered, and I started acting like I was using without using, right? I have 50-50 custody of my daughter, and every time that I drop her off at her mom's, even after 10 years, it fucking hurts. It's not as bad as it was at first. Anyway, so I got another sponsor at 10 years clean because I was at this place where my life was falling apart. And, you know, I always told people if I got the money out of the ATM, my phone's shutting off with it because I'd already made that decision, right? So at 10 years clean, I wanted to use. So bad I could taste it. And then I was on my way. I had the PIN code in the ATM. I was about to pull the money out. And a guy I met at the meeting 2 months earlier called and said, "Hey, I'm fucking struggling. Come take me to a meeting." That guy moved away too, by the way. But he's still clean. He's the first sponsee I ever had that I worked all 12 steps with. And then I picked this other guy. I showed up to the meeting in tears, like my life's falling apart. I've got 10 years clean. Y'all said there weren't going to be days like this anymore. And they said, the more work I do, the highs aren't so high and the lows aren't so low. That pendulum just kind of settles, right? There's always going to be bad days. There's going to be bad years. But it doesn't have to define who I am today, right? So I picked up this new sponsor, and he's like, "You better have a network because I'm always on the road, and I'm never going to answer. I'm hardly ever going to answer the phone, right?" And I looked at him and I said, "I haven't been around in a couple of years." Like, he's like, "Then you better fucking start working." So we worked the 12 steps on relationships, like focusing on the relationships in my life. And I lost my job about a couple years ago, and I needed him. And I didn't talk to him for 6 months. I called him every day. So I picked another sponsor, right? This workshop's on sponsorship's a two-way street. When I work steps today with sponsees, I take a little bit of everybody I've ever worked steps with, and I incorporated it into how I work steps with sponsees. I take what works for me, right? I was always told, take what you need and leave the rest. That's how I work steps with sponsees today, is I took what I needed from everybody I ever worked steps with. And then sometimes I pull out of the stuff I didn't need at the time. Because even though we are all different, we are all the same. You know, I was always told to look at the similarities, not the differences. And when I got clean, that's all I could see were the differences. And even if that similarity is just our last name is Addict, that's enough today, right? So I would love to tell you I learn something new every day from every one of my sponsees. I don't. You know, but they helped me change my perspective. They helped me learn about myself on how my perspective is skewed sometimes. You know, I can watch them go through pain and know that if I ever go through that same pain, I have someone I can call. Right? I didn't sponsor people for a long time. I had to get myself right before I can help somebody else get right. And then I was talking to, sometimes I come off as a little bit of an asshole. Just a little bit, right? Like, to the point where I was talking to a bunch of guys from a halfway house, and they're like, "You look so unapproachable." And I'm like, because I am, right? I was always taught that the masks I wear in these rooms could kill me. I come off as an asshole because that's my defense mechanism. I have a small circle. I've got 6 people I call on a regular basis, sponsees included, right? Because everyone else scares the shit out of me. I don't want to let too many people in because y'all have never hurt me as a group, but individually. Right? I was sponsoring this guy about 15 years ago, and I had to go to his funeral after he relapsed and tell his kids why he relapsed. And that was the first one. There's a part in The Living Clean that the first line is in this section is addicts die. That's the first sentence. And it goes on about how we all deal with grief differently, but they're all the same steps, right? I am tired of burying people. I am tired of burying friends, those people that let me in. And like, I love everybody. But I put off this exterior like I'm a badass. I'm not. You try to fight me, I'm going to run the other way. Right? I don't shy away from confrontation verbally. But I put on this mask because everyone I let in dies. Right? That's my experience. So I was talking to someone, my grandmother who raised me over the summers, died probably about 5 years ago. And I went to the funeral. Guess who I told? No one. Right? Because in my head, sometimes there's still problems too big for this program to help me with. Right? I am learning differently. Right? Just because I have 20 years clean doesn't mean I can't be sick. Right? But I keep my circle small, not just because people leave and relapse and die, but because my brain can only handle calling 5 or 6 people on a regular basis. Right? I was talking to my sponsee on the way up here, and I'm like, fuck, I forgot I called this guy 3 days ago. Right? Which means I've got to call him on the way home, right? Sponsorship's a two-way street. I learn by watching, right? I might not say anything in a meeting, but I'm watching and listening to everything that's said because if I'm going through something similar one day, I know who I can call. I know that no matter what happens, I always want that hand of NA to reach out and help me up when I need it. I know where to go. I know what to do. If I'm willing to do the work, everything works out. Right? The higher power, I was always told one of my first sponsor's favorite saying, my higher power will move mountains as long as I bring my shovel. And then he would tell me, sit down, shut up, and listen. Right? I sit down and shut up and I listen today. Right? I hope my sponsees get as much out of me as I do out of them. I hope that if you don't have a sponsor, please get one. Even if you have to change in a couple of months. Right? It's not... Someone once described it to me as breaking up with a lover. Right? Like, I don't want to do it. I don't want to hurt their feelings. Man, if I'm not working for one of my sponsees, fucking tell me. Because if I can't help you through what you're going through, we can find someone else who can together. Right? So, life is worth living, right? And I didn't always think that. If I'm not in the middle of the boat, I'm drowning. So I do what I can with who I can to stay in the middle of that proverbial boat because I want to be there to help the next person, even if I am a little bit of an asshole. That's all I have. Thank you.